Some of you have already heard the story of my quest to find the cheapest gas when I was driving to Wichita some months ago. I knew as I left Dodge City that I would need to fill my car up at some point, but I went on the presumption that it would get cheaper as I drew further from Dodge. But before we consider my journey to Wichita, we think today about the people who are called to journey with Jesus at the end of the gospel. Follow me, he tells them. Follow me. It's as easy as that. Then again, there's nothing easy about that. Can you imagine being told to not just leave everything, but to do it immediately? So it's reasonable to have some sympathy for the man who said, "But first, let me go bury my father." It's reasonable to have some sympathy for the other one who said, "But first, let me say farewell to my family." You'll notice that Jesus, however, is far less sympathetic. He knows our human nature well. And he knows that if we say, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want, but first," then it means that he's not first. And by always looking for something else first, his turn may never come. So, driving through Pratt, I remember thinking, well, this isn't too much different from Dodge. I know I can make it a little bit farther. Ditto for Kingman. And it's only when I got to Goddard that things got a little complicated. So lo and behold, it was 2 cents less than Dodge City. But rather than fill up right then and save a whopping 30 cents, I thought, well, the great decline has begun. So I knew that it would only get cheaper as I headed further into the city. Except that it didn't. By the time I arrived at the retreat center in northeast Wichita, the closest station, no kidding, was 18 cents higher than Dodge City. They must be building a really big water park. Why did I not fill my car with gas earlier? Because I was convinced that there would be a better opportunity later. I remember meeting a woman several years ago who told me that she had made an agreement with the Lord. If he would allow her to stay healthy and work hard, then when she retired, she would give all of her time and all of her money to serving him. That was her version of, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first." I hope that the agreement worked out. We all have our own versions of saying, "But first," our own versions of waiting for a better gas station. I'm going to read the scriptures when I wake up in the morning. But first, I'll check my email. At some point, I'm going to get an hour in the Adoration Chapel. But first, I want to make sure I can handle the rest of the week. Well, eventually we'll start tithing to the church, but first we have to get our kids through college. But first, sometimes we have those but firsts about the direction of our lives. For a young man or woman discerning a religious vocation, they wonder when the right time might be to try it. If a sophomore in college hears a very clear call to the priesthood, should he apply to seminary right away? Or say, but first I'm going to get my degree, just in case. You know, some who delay their response find that the call never goes away, or even gets stronger. But for others, saying, but first, or waiting for a better opportunity, puts them at the risk of being distracted by the material world, of being less faithful to discernment, or even making a bad decision that makes a religious vocation no longer a possibility. The disciples in the gospel today were in a tough position. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they wanted to do other things first. It's not always crystal clear, but in those examples, and in those that we just considered, if I know what the Lord wants, then what am I waiting for? A better gas station?